Turn your Bibles to Romans, please. We're going to start in the book of Romans, and we're going to take a little trip over to, I guess it's the book of Psalm. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 13. We're going to read one verse of Scripture. If you would, in reverence to the Word of God, would you stand with me this morning? Romans chapter 7, verse number 13. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 13. The previous verses are talking about the law of God. It's holy, it's just, it's good, the Word of God. In verse 13, Paul said, "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid." In other words, the law came along for a purpose. What was its purpose? He said, "But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." I want to preach this morning on this subject, when sin becomes exceeding sinful. When sin becomes exceeding sinful. I'll say two things real quickly. That'll never happen without the Scripture. Number two, that'll never happen without the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and causes us to see our need of the Son of God. Did you hear what I said? The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and causes us to see our need of the Son of God, or eternal life, salvation. You can be seated. Please pray with me and pray for me. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege, Lord, to be in the house of God. Lord, I tremble this morning at the responsibility to deliver this that I have before me. God, I ask you this morning to help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. I thank you for each and every one of our visitors. Lord, it's a blessing to have folks that would drive by. It's a blessing, our Lord, to have folks that would come and just join with us here at Bible Way in the house of God. Now, Lord, would you clothe me for this little while in my calling? God, would you help me to preach, realizing, our Lord, that it might be the last time I ever get to stand. I pray, Lord, this morning that you'd deal with our hearts. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen and amen. Take your Bible now, if you will, and turn back with me, please, to the book of Psalm in chapter 51. There, in the Word of God, when you're preaching the Bible or reading the Bible, there's one interpretation, but there are many applications. And I'm going to take and use an application this morning out of Psalm 51. Psalm 51 was written by David, the psalmist, after that he had engaged in that horrible sin of adultery with Bathsheba. After he engaged in that horrible sin of murder with Uriah. After he engaged in the cover-up. Beloved, listen this morning. I named adultery and I named murder. But if the Spirit of God has his way this morning, we're going to see that it's not just murder that's a horrible sin, and it's not just adultery, but any sin is a sin against God. And all sin, beloved, is a transgression of the law. The Bible said sin that it might become exceeding sinful. For 27 years of my life, I thought I was a good old boy. Is anybody home? I didn't think I was that bad. I mean, after all, good night, I didn't do what some of them boys in high school did. Somebody help me this morning. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There was a night in February in 1987 when I had a visit from the precious Holy Spirit, a visit from the Lord himself. And the Lord in that visit introduced me to the law. And I understood for the first time in my life that I wasn't a good old boy. I was a bad old boy. I needed to be born again. I needed to escape the damnation of hell. I needed to be saved. And what happened that night is what I'm going to describe to you in this message today with the help of God. When sin becomes exceeding sinful, let me just get right into it. First of all, there's an awareness of sin. If you'll look with me, if you will, at Psalm chapter 51, the psalmist said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." I want you to notice something here. There was an awareness of David's guilt. I'm telling you this morning, beloved, listen, without the Scripture and without the Spirit of God, there'd never be an awareness of our guilt. We'll live our life. We can live and die thinking we're a good old boy or a good old gal, not near as bad as so-and-so. But I tell you, if the Spirit of God ever takes the law of God and pronounces you guilty in the court of God, there'll be an awareness of your sin. It won't matter, beloved, if you're 8 years old and you lied to your mama, or if you're 80 years old and you've been a drunkard all your life. It won't matter, because the Spirit of God will throw the book at you. He'll pronounce you guilty before a holy God. In Romans chapter 7, we see the law. In 2 Samuel chapter number 12, beloved, it was Nathan that come and stood toe-to-toe with David and told David the story. I'll not go back and read it all, about the little ewe lamb and how the rich man had plenty, poor man had one little ewe lamb. And when the traveler came by, they killed the little man, the little lamb that belonged to the poor man. And beloved, David was angry in his countenance and in his spirit. Can I tell you this morning, God is angry in his countenance and his spirit. The Bible said he's angry with the wicked every day. And David, in that righteous anger, said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die." After all, the Word of God said, the wages of sin is death. And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." Oh, I thank God for Nathan, don't you? I know that Brother Brian has mentioned this several times. Jonathan was a great friend of David, but I'm not sure his greatest friend was not Nathan. The Bible said, beloved, a friend loveth at all times. And Nathan loved David enough to stand toe-to-toe with him and tell him what was wrong in his life. Beloved, I'm glad God loved me enough not to leave me alone, but to come by, beloved, and tell me what was wrong in my life and that I needed a Savior. There's an awareness of our guilt. First of all, there's an awareness of sin and awareness of our guilt. But then there's an awareness of the Savior, or an awareness of our God. If you'll look here in these verses, he said, "Have mercy upon me." You say, "Preacher, where does mercy come from?" There's only one, beloved, that can have mercy on the sinner, and that's the God of heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he died. So, beloved, when justice would call on a sinner like me, thank God mercy could answer, because somebody went to Calvary and paid the price for my sin. Beloved, listen, if you see it here in the Word of God, this awareness of God, it was a powerful moment. When David, my friend, was faced with Nathan, that was a powerful moment. Don't you know, beloved, that David had covered that up and covered that up? It looks like 12 or 13 months that had been covered up. The baby has been born up. That God, beloved, sent a man to uncover. I'm telling you, listen to me carefully this morning. There's a day coming when it's all going to be uncovered. You might as well let God uncover it now and get it covered by the blood, because there's a day coming when it's going to be uncovered. Somebody said, "I'd be afraid to go down there and get my sin under the blood. I'd be afraid not to." I'm going to tell you this morning, beloved, there's an awareness. It's a powerful moment when the sinner meets the Savior. It's a powerful moment. I tell you, I've never had a moment like it in my life. There's never been another moment that would compare to that moment when Jesus forgave me of my sin. Amen. Beloved, listen this morning. Ask Paul about it. On the road to Damascus, he had a powerful moment when God knocked him off of that horse, amen, and blinded him. And Lord, who art thou? And what would you have me to do? Paul realized he was headed in the wrong direction. He was on the wrong team. Say amen. And he was, my friend, needing a Savior. It was a personal moment. You see, when there's an awareness of God, there's power. But let's look at the personal moment here. The Bible said here, have mercy upon our country. Have mercy upon my friends. Have mercy upon that sinner over yonder. No, David said, have mercy upon me. I tell you, every time somebody's born again, it's personal. It's between them and God. Amen. Watch this now. Not only does he say it there, he said, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. I tell you something, beloved. My pastor was there the night I got saved. Oh, I thank God for my pastor. I thank God for someone that put his arm around me at the altar and said, Rick, tears were running from my eyes. You don't have to cry to get saved. And I tell you what, you do have to be broken. You do have to come to Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, tears were running from his eyes. And I'll never, never forget what he said. Rick, I'm glad you come, son. There's nothing worth dying and going to hell over. I say this morning, when sin becomes exceeding sinful, there's an awareness of sin. Beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, not only is it a powerful moment and a personal moment when we are aware of our God and his mercy, but it's a precious moment. Makes a difference between heaven and hell. Had I lived and died without that moment, I could have never went to God's heaven when I leave this world. It makes the difference, beloved, not only between heaven and hell, but between fellowship and failure. Here we have fellowship because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. There's an awareness of sin, number one. Number two, there's an acknowledgement of sin. Let me just give you a couple of things right here. If you look at verse number 3, he said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I want you to notice how personal this stays. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. No we, no us, no our. It's one sinner and one Savior. And I'm guilty before him. Watch this now. The Word of God said here, there's an acknowledgement. I want to give you a couple things quickly. In verse number 3, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, that thou mayest be clear when thou judgest. Let me just say a couple things quickly about the acknowledgement of sin. I see the acknowledgement in a picture. You say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Well, in verse 3, he said, it's ever before me. Let me just say something to you this morning. Hear me well right here. He couldn't get it out of his mind. I'm telling you, David could not get it out of his mind. I believe he went back and back and back and played that over and over and over. He looks down there and there's a woman bathing and the woman is beautiful. And beloved, let me just say this to you. That beauty turned into a beast in David's life. Are you listening to me? It was eating his lunch. It was on the inside of him, just eating him alive. He said, I can't get rid of it. You say, preacher, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. That look turned into lust. And that lust, when it was conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That's what the Word of God said. Oh, beloved friend, there's people say, well, I'll tell you one thing right now. I just think I ain't too bad a fella. Not me, buddy. I ain't never killed nobody. I ain't never raped a woman. I ain't never done this. I ain't never done that. I tell you what, I don't know of too many men in this world that ain't never lusted. Somebody help me this morning. Let me tell you something. The Word of God said a man can keep that whole law, keep a whole book, and yet offend in one point, and he's guilty of all. That's what the Word of God said. Now you listen to me this morning, beloved. Listen to me carefully right here. The Word of God said, well, you say, preacher, I've kept the whole thing. Here's somebody else said that too, but he lied. The rich young ruler, say amen. Jesus said, yeah, you're okay. He said, now go sell all you have and go. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great riches and he loved his riches more than he loved God. He was more concerned about this world than he was the next world. A whole lot of people living like that today. Beloved friend, there's an acknowledgement of sin. It's in a picture. It couldn't get it out of his mind, and then he acknowledged it was against a person, against thee and thee only. Sin, if you just speak of it in general terms, it ain't too bad. But get to speaking of it against a man that had nails in his head, against a man that had a crown of thorns in his head, against the man whose back was up against an old, rough, rugged piece of wood, bleeding because they had scourged him, against the man that had been blindfolded, against the man whom they had smitten and said, prophesy, who hit you? Against the man, the Bible said, greater love hath no man than this. And a man would lay down his life for his friends. When you bring your sin and it gets just between you and that man, it'll be different. It'll be different. It'll be different. Brother Preston, when I realize that man loves me, it's against the person. It's not just, listen, against our body or against somebody else's body. It's against the person. It's against the Lord. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. In reality, I'm talking about reality. David had sinned against Israel. He had sinned against Judah. He had sinned against Bathsheba. He had sinned against Uriah. He had sinned against his own body. Read what the Bible said about that. In reality. But what happened, preacher? What are you trying to describe? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Sin became exceeding sinful. And when it did, David said, it's me, oh God. I've sinned against thee, oh God. Beloved, listen. When an individual gets to that place, business is fixing to pick up. There's an acknowledgement of sin. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Now, I said all that to get to my favorite part of the message. There's an antidote for sin. I was thinking about this morning. Sometime, Brother Brown, when you got a little time, you can help me with this. I maybe could study it out and find out, but it's easier just to ask Brother Brian. Get to fellowship a little bit. But an antidote, the definition of that is a counteracting agent. And what I think about this morning, Brother Brian, is poison. You know, you can read on some of them bottles and it says induce vomiting. You read on some of them other bottles, it says, do not induce vomiting. Looks to me like if it's poison, you'd want it out of there. But there's a reason for that, and I'm sure Brother Brian probably knows that in the medical field. Sometimes you want to throw up, and sometimes you don't. But every poison will give you instructions how to deal with it. Some of it you're going to die anyway. Let me just tell you this. Sin is a poison. It's going to cause us to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, preacher, sin has become exceeding sinful. Now where's the antidote? Look at verse number 6. The Bible said, behold, thou desireth truth in the inward part. I'll give you several things quickly. The antidote for sin is found in the book. David said, God, you're looking for truth. John 17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The antidote is found in the book. It's found in the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's what the Bible said. Thou desirest truth in the inward part. Beloved, listen. I love this. I started out preaching on the law. Sin might become exceeding sinful. By the way, let me just say this. I don't believe there's enough preaching on the law in our generation. I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't have to beg somebody that's guilty to start looking for the antidote. And it's the law of God that pronounces us guilty. But aren't you glad, Brother Rose, the same book that pronounced us guilty pointed us to the grace of God. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing. The antidote for sin is in the book. Let me give you this. The antidote for sin is in the blood. Look at verse number 7. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not one thing. The Bible said, in almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. God showed us way back in the garden when man sinned that it was going to take blood. Adam and Eve, just like my friend people in this modern day, sewed their fig leaves together, tried to cover their nakedness, but God had to kill the animals. They had to shed their blood so that they could be clothed. Beloved friend, without Jesus, there's no righteousness. And without His righteousness, men and women are still naked before God. Preacher, when sin becomes exceeding sinful, there's an awareness. There's an acknowledgement. Thank God there's an antidote. There's an antidote for sin. You know, I don't know all about it. I probably ought to study a little bit about it. I like to spend time in nature out in the woods. And I don't even really know what I should do if I got bit by a snake, except kill the snake. I figure if we're both going to die, we must go. I mean, if I'm going to die, he might as well go with me. Say amen. I went out in West Tennessee one time, turkey hunting. Pastor and them, they had over 100 acres back there. He said, there's turkeys everywhere. I said, well, good. We'll see what we can do about that. He said, you don't have to worry about them copperheads. They're not crawling yet. He said, that mountain's eat up with copperheads. They're not crawling yet. And you know me, I can't hear. But God in His mercy let me hear something that sounded like shh in the leaves. And I looked down. I was just about to. And I backed up. It took me a little while. See, I was only scouting on that trip. I didn't have a gun. Had I had a gun, one shell, one snake, no problem. I had to find a stick. He said, preacher, don't you believe in handling snakes? Yes, I do. 22, shotgun, hoe, shovel, stick. Snake bit. There's an antidote for those. They want to know what kind of snake it was. Let me tell you something. The snake that bit us was sin. Over there in the children of Israel, beloved, listen. The word of God said, beloved, there among the camp, people were getting bitten. People were dying. And God told Moses, make a brazen serpent. Lift it up on a pole. And people, if they will look, they will live. Then the word of God said this. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know why we've been bitten? So that we can look and live. The antidote for sin is in the book. The antidote for sin is in the blood. The antidote for sin is in a broken heart. You say, preacher, I don't know where you got that. Look at verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that thy bones, that the bones which thou hast broken, may rejoice. The scripture verse is this. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Brother Wayne, I'm glad there was a day when my heart was broken because of what I had done to my Savior. I thought about doing this morning. I didn't do it. Maybe I should have. Thought about just bringing me a piece of landscape and timber. I got one in the shop. Several short pieces. I figured I might use them for something one day, block something up. Bringing a 3-pound hammer. And bringing a spike about 8 inches long. And just get everybody to close their eyes. And just listen to that hammer hit that nail. Oh, you say, Brother Gale, people say them Roman soldiers, they shouldn't have done that. Brother Gale wasn't them Roman soldiers. It was you. It was me. We drove the nails in his hand. We drove the nails in his feet. We pulled the crown of thorns down in his head. Oh, happy day when my sin became exceeding sinful, when I stopped excusing it, when I stopped petting it, and when I realized I had been snake bitten and I was going to die and I was going to go to hell without God. But along came Jesus with mercy because of Calvary. Oh, beloved friend, think about it. He said his heart was broken. Does it break your heart this morning that the stripes that were placed on our Savior's back were placed there by your sin and mine? Does it break your heart that the crown that was pulled in our Savior's brow was placed there by your sin and mine? Oh, you say, preacher, them Roman soldiers, they killed him. No, you got it wrong. Beloved, Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. Say, preacher, how do you know you're going to get up in the resurrection? I'll tell you how I know. I'm in him. And he got up. Does it break your heart that the thorns that were placed, the stripes, the nails, happened because of your sin and mine? I'll leave you with this morning. Listen to me carefully. I read this to you. You say, preacher, you preach like it's urgent. I believe if we only knew how urgent it is. Just before we turn left out here, coming into the church, I guess right there about where the mobile home place is on the right as you're coming from Kingsport, 4 deer across the road in front of us this morning. I just barely got stopped. Barely. You say, preacher, I wouldn't even think about something like that. Well, maybe you need to see the guy in 1970. Maybe you need to see his Ford Montego that hit a deer at 55 miles an hour and see what it looked like. The radiator was in the firewall. I didn't have time to do what I should have done, really. I should have been looking in the mirror first. I didn't have time. Had somebody been behind me, no doubt we would have got hit in the rear end. Had I hit the deer, God only knows what had happened. May have hit two of them because they were just all right together. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say in a moment of time, we can be checking out of this world. It's urgent. It's urgent. Let me read this to you and I'm done. Back in 1830, George Wilson, was convicted of robbing the U.S. mail and was sentenced to be hanged. President Andrew Jackson issued a pardon for Wilson, but he refused to accept it. The matter went to Chief Justice Marshall, who concluded that Wilson would have to be executed. He said a pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. He was offered a pardon. This is the illustration that I just read. This is the pardon. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, I skipped a couple of verses, I just wanted to write the pardon out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's the pardon. Sunday after Sunday, I stand in that pulpit and try my best to preach this book. I know I ain't very good at it, but let me tell you something right now. Every time this book is open, God is saying, I've got a pardon to offer. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. You say, preacher, I don't know how in the world a person can receive that pardon. Sin, first of all, must become exceeding sinful. When it does, there will be an awareness of sin. There will be an acknowledgement of sin. And thank God, we have an antidote. That can correct it. That can take away the guilt, the shame, is found in this book. Sunday after Sunday, people just like that man in the illustration, what was his name? Was it Wilson? Y'all got a better memory than I do. And you're over 50 years old. Amen. Wilson said, I don't want it. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He's a gentleman. He offers a pardon. The question is, do you want it? I believe the reason that David didn't get mad at Nathan, didn't get even with Nathan, I believe he could have had Nathan killed just as easily as he had Uriah killed. But I believe the reason he didn't, he had come to a place where he was tired of it. My sin is ever before me. He couldn't get that picture out of his mind. What in the world was I thinking? My servant even tried to tell me, is not this Bathsheba the wife of Uriah the Hittite? The Holy Ghost is trying to tell somebody this morning, there's a pardon waiting for you. The one that offers it's not the pastor, not the church, but the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Let's bow for prayer. Brother Ralph, you and Sister Becky come. I would like to have the song, "Just As I Am, Brother." That's how God saved me. I came just like I was, but I didn't leave just like I was. I came guilty and I left forgiven. I came dirty and I left clean. I came on my way to hell, but I left on my way to heaven. I came outside of Christ and I left in Christ. This morning, we're going to sing in a moment. This my pardon, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you, I believe there are several in this room. If you'd done what God wanted you to do, you'd come down here and say, "Oh God, forgive me. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved." Father, in this invitation, I pray the saints of God would carry that burden. Help us carry this load this morning. But get in this altar. Beg you to work in lost people's lives. God, I pray this morning someone would come and receive the pardon that's offered this day. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together.